So it's either only an aseh or an aseh and a lav. But there's no misa. So that's why it's taka very difficult. Why should they give misa over here by Talmud? Yeah, if you say like his misha, like the Rosh, is okay. You say like the Gemara says, well, if you give misa mamish, then you have difficulty. So the first you say that the Gabi b'nei Nora, Gemara has a call as a Rosh Mizuim Misosin, that if a guy violates any avera, he's not supposed to violate, he right away gets misa. Since she violated the din of Yivam HaShezin, so said it was me. So the question is, Mimara Shasta, what do you treat her? Treat her like a Bas Noya, said then there's no din of Yivam HaShuk, and treat her like Yisrael, said then there's no Misa. So we give her both kumas. I tied to the sas. I tell her, it's a very shver parsha. What the Rosh says is, I'll think true to Shalmik. He said, what's the office he served means
that. She should be
Bas Koin. Bas Koin Shezin says only she's married. If she's single, Bas Koin Shezin doesn't get any. Yeah, it doesn't change. Very shver, very shver kash. Then it's also shver. The Achronim ask the rebellion Mizrachi has a famous kash, and he gives a very shvach territory. It's not always gehalt in Allah. It's very shver. It's tam a peladik in you. The pasuk says, "What do you mean she was a bas koyin? Who was she? Tomar. It says she was a daughter of Shame. So it says regarding Shame, who kohen lekel yom." So it says, "Who kohen?" So the chacham say, "Who? He was a kohen, but his children were not kohen. So the children were not kohen. So his daughter's not a bas kohen." So that's what the Mizrahi answers. Rabbi Mizrahi on Chumash has a commentary on Rashi. He says, "Bas kohen. She doesn't have to be a kohenist as long as she, her father's a kohen, even though." Who coined the Kerelion? He was a coin, but his children didn't get Kuna, but the father was a coin, so therefore she is a Bas coin. That's what the Mizrahi says on Chumash. So in the Parsha Beis, it's against the Mishnah. And one, the end of Sanhedrin quotes on Mishnah, where it says the famous not so, that if the coin has a daughter who's a Chalola, or she's Nipsalom and Akunas, and the daughter is Mizana, she doesn't have the din of Sreik. It's not enough if the father's
she's
a coin.
She's out of the family, but she's a Chalola. And the Melish is more gotten in the family.
Yeah.
Therefore, you say Chalal wouldn't get Seifa. However, a Bas Koyin who's not moved up to the family, so she...
Why is she not moved? Because no member of the family carries over the Kusha stones. So, Parsha no Shver Parsha. Anyway, but Yosef Hatzadik is the main lesson of the Torah writes the story that we should realize that it's a tremendous son. You know, an Arab art.
Huh?
Art? Did I hear art? In Arab art, they have, I don't think they teach that in this university. Arab art? They have a very common theme. They have a very common theme of showing pictures of the women. There's a medrash that says, we don't know if the medrash originated by the Arabs or by the Jews, but it's found in Jewish midrashim now. There's a Sefer Yosha, not by the Rabbeinu Tam. There's a Sefer Yosha, has a long medrash about Yosef with Potiphar's wife, exactly what was going on there, all the details, what was going on there, what did she want and what did she offer him and so on. Long marriage. It starts by Yosef, then it goes back to Chumash, goes to more story. It starts with the story with Yosef, you know, like the modern movies, sexy movies. It starts with that marriage to describe what did she want from him, what did he offer her, and what was the negotiation between the two of them. So the marriage tells a story, and it has parallels in Arab literature, so that's why it's very suspicious, because it's a very late marriage. It's suspicious whether the origin of this medrash comes from the Arabs or from the Jews. The medrash describes the way Potiphar's wife is telling all of her girlfriends, all the other great wives of the Egyptian ministers, that how attractive, how handsome her slave is, and how she wants to be with him, and so on and so forth. And they said they'd like to meet the guy. They'd like to also have Anna looking at him. She's chalashing to look at him. So the Medrash says the way she gave them esrogimti. She gave them esrogimti, and they were all sitting and cutting their esrogim with knives, and then she called in her slave Yosef, and Yosef came in. They were so chalashing from his beauty, they all cut their fingers with their knives, because they couldn't pay attention to cutting the esrogim. So that's a common theme in Arab art. They have pictures of women sitting around cutting their fingers with knives, looking at a man. And that's supposed to be the picture of Yosef. All of the sheikhs are around him who are polishing from his beauty. That's a fact. It's not a fact that Yosef they really cut their fingers, that's our mice, it's probably Obama mice or whatever, but it probably originated from the Arabs. So this is a fact that this is a common theme in Arab bombing.
Can you explain what the Yehuda did with
He found himself a Zayna. The Rambam writes. Very difficult parsha. I don't know. The Rambam starts off Hilchas Tishas. If they both agree they want to be mezalim, so it's mutter. The Rambam says it was mutter, so that's what they did. Very difficult.
Precisely why you would give them out to them. Because he, in a way, overcame human nature. Because after a while, he would see that he admitted his mistakes. It's not to be changed.
No, she was an Ishtish. Tamar, but Tamar was single. Ishtish I didn't buy Goyim also. That one the Shem lives within there. Mishka Zav is also the Shem. What is Shem? Right, right. No, that's not an Ishtish. In fact, the Ramban and others have the Marshov like that. At Kodim Atan Torah, they had the Mitzvah Yivum extended. It didn't only apply to the brothers, it applied to other relatives as well. It was a Mayein Mitzvah Yivum. So that's why when that's why she was interested, that's why right. That's why Toma was interested in marrying Yehuda, also to be the kind of their form of Yivum that they had Kodim Atan Torah.
But she doesn't. It's literally, and Yehuda didn't know who she was.
He asked her, the Gemara says in Saita, he asked her if she's a Shiksa. So she said, no, she converted. Then he asked her if she's a Nida. So she says, no, she's not a Nida, she went to the mikveh. From his end. Then he asked her, are you an Ashish Tish? She says, no, I'm single. Then she said, maybe your father was Makabu Kiddushin for you. She said, my father's dead. I mean, he's saying, he said, okay, you go to Israel. That's how the Medrash says. That he asked her all the questions first. Then when it came out that she was just a plain old Jewish Zayna who went to mikveh, so Kaidim al Tzara was Muslim. This didn't occur to him. What was his motivation?
So why did
people smoke cigarettes? Why did people eat ice cream? Why did people eat food? People have typhus.
Oh, so why they want to kill? Why they want to kill those Muslims? I don't understand that. Why do they want to kill Tamar? It was more to
us. Very telling enough. Why do they want to kill Tamar? All Parshas. That's why the Rosh Hashanah is the most down to earth. And he says that he had a minig in that time that he used to burn out on the foreheads of the Zionists of sin in order to stop them. Like the scarlet letter that they have. Yeah. This week's Saturday there's another din. It's very important, especially for young guys. There's a din, Er V'Yonan died, Nisib Dei Shammai, because they were Mashke Zera. Zera has a din. Sounds from the Chumash. A real Issa Derais. That's what the Gemara says. It's a real Issa Derais. If a not only a
sounds
like
for
the Issa Derais. Yeah. Right. No, there's no law. There's no law in the Torah. The Gemara says that we learn out in this parsha that there's Misa V'Dei Shamayim for a person who's Mashle Zera, for a man who's Mashle Zera. Machlekes is the Rishon, what the nature of the Yisr is. What's the Yisr of masturbation? What's the nature of the Yisr of Hashkas HaZera? So Rabbein Tam Shita, along with the Balei HaTosfos, is that it's only connected with Piri V'Rivya. It's a special form of Bitul Piri V'Rivya. That's instant, man, I'm a Chayiv in Piri V'Rivya. So if a guy doesn't get married, or a guy gets married, doesn't want to have children, so he's Mevatel HaMitzvah, that's Mevatel B'Shevi Al-Tasfos, he didn't have children. What if a person is Mashle Zaroi, the Kulbi Asay, so that's like an Yisr Asay of Piri V'Rivya. An Yisr Asay of Piri V'Rivya. So Rabbeinu Tam claims it only applies to men and doesn't apply to women. Let's say a woman, after Tashmish, will wash out all the zera inside of her body. So Rabbeinu Tam claims that since women are not muzer, the women don't have the mitzvah of piri v'rivya. In the Megillah, they don't have anything to do with this essay. There's no mitzvah essay of hashkosa zera for women. So the Mefarshim asks Kakasha, if it only applies to men who have the mitzvah of piri v'rivya, it doesn't apply to women. So how come it applies to goyim? Erev yoyim, we cut them out the Torah. They were goyim. And Taisa says in Sanhedrin that if it's Lishitos and Taisa says, Taisa Shita is that it's only connected with Piri V'Rivya. So since goyim don't have the mitzvah of pirvi rivi, so goyim don't have the avera pashkas zera. They can be mashkas all zera they want. Tesis holds. Other rishonim disagree. In Sanhedrin, other rishonim hold that ashkas zera is a separate issur. The Gemara Nida says, not only is it a form of issur esir pirvi rivi, it's a form of issur gili arayis, even though there's no female partner. It's a form of gili arayis, and it's a form of shvichas domim. That it's considered as if the man who is mashkas zera is killing the child that could have been born from this zera. It had a potential of causing a child to be born, so it's a form of ritzicha. So if it's a form of ritzicha or a form of gilei arayis, then it certainly should apply to goyim, and certainly should apply to women as well. But if according to that, that's what other rishonim are. Machloek is whether goyim are muzman ashkos zera, whether women are muzman ashkos zera. So the yes kan the Mishnah Melech quotes his kashin from the Ramban. Ramban, no less Ramban and Nida, is the kashin of Rabbeinu Tam. It says that Erviyonon died because of Hashkos HaZera, and it says by the chet of the Dora Mabu, Kishvus Kalbosis Darko Yahorit, so one medrash says that there are there was Hashkos HaZera, it's the Gemara and Daf Yud Gimel and Nida, beginning of the second paragraph of Nida says, Kishvus Kalbosis Darko Yahorit, that the Dora Mabu had violated Alvera Hashkos HaZera. So the Ramban correct Akashi, but Goyim don't have the mitzvah Piribiribia, so according to Rabbi Natan, that Hashkos HaZera is only forbidden by one who has the mitzvah Piribiribia, Goyim don't have it. So he answers the kasha, Ramban answers the kasha. But that's only if the Matan Torah Goyim no longer have the mitzvah. Because the Matan Torah Goyim do have the mitzvah. The mitzvah was given originally to a Goyim. The mitzvah Piri Viribi was given to Adam Arisha. The Mara just says that since the mitzvah from the times of Matan Torah on, the mitzvah Piri Viribi only applies to the Jews and no longer applies to the Goyim. But originally, Kodesh Matan Torah did apply to the Goyim. So until the days of Matan Torah, the mitzvah of Pirvi Rivia applied to Goyim as well. So Goyim at that time were the holidays Muzar and Ashkos HaZera. Even according to Rabbi Natan, Shailus Bizman HaZeh, after Matan Torah, but it still applies to Goyim. So Rabbi Natan has his finish. He says no. But it's only an Indian of Issur Esir Pirvi Rivia. It doesn't apply to Noshim and doesn't apply to Goyim. And I, the Gemara says that it's an Indian of Ritziche, and the Gemara says that it's an Indian of Kili Arayis. So he learns that that's an Agarita. So only Agarita, but that's not really the Yisrael Yisrael. Yeah. And the other Rishonim disagree and hold no, that when the Gemara says that it's a form of Ritziche and a form of Kili Arayis, that's part of the main reason for this. That's the nature of the Yisrael. So it applies even to Goyim, it's not as yet, and applies even to Nosh. Well, the question is, the husband won't be in kind of religion. Rabbi Tam says, let's say, Rabbi Tam says, of course, that's what he means, birth control methods. And it's probably not Ashkos HaZera for the husband either.
Yes, but
Ashkos HaZera means if the husband doesn't like, let's say the wife is pregnant anyway, the husband's Baal Ishto. Or the woman is 95 years old, and she has Tachmash. So we know she's not going to have a baby anyway. But let's say the girl is so young, it's impossible she can have a baby. There's some reason or another why she can't have a baby at this time. So there's no issue to have Tachmash with the husband. So the place it says, let that be Ashkos HaZera. So the place says, that's not Ashkos HaZera. When the couple have Tachmash, Kedarko. It's not an issue of Ashkos HaZera. Ashkos HaZera means, Shaloi Goyitim Shal normal Tachmash. The husband is Moitzi Zera, not in the form of a normalized Tachmash. So if the woman takes a pill, that's not a form of Ashkos HaZera. So it's a question of Bitl Esri, a peribiridium. Right, so that's a Shiloh. The husband has no children yet, so he's not the kind peribiridium. Well, not she. She won't have any children. The husband will not have the mitzvah. The women don't have the mitzvah of the peribiridium. We pass it. So the men have the mitzvah. If the guy didn't have any children yet, he's not about to let them. Even if he has already a son and a daughter. And then Morris says it's a mitzvah to have mitzvah with the Rabbanon. Mitzvah with the Kabbalah to have more children. But it wouldn't be a form of Hashkos HaZera to use a pill. It's a different question.
Ramban says that he agrees with the Rabbeinu Tam.
He disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam.
He's saying that they used to have the mission.
Kodesh Matan Torah. Yeah, that's the answer on the Erev Yoinah, and that's the answer on the Dor HaMabul. But he disagrees with the whole Rabbeinu Tam. He holds that they're wrong. He holds that Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. He holds that the Yisra Hashkos HaZera, the Gemara says that it's a form of Ritziche, and it's a form of Gilei Arayis. So therefore it applies even to Noshim. And even to goyim is manazeh. That's a shaila halacha l'maaseh. Sometimes the psychologists in their practice, years ago used to be, I don't know if they still do now, they used to recommend to men who were crazy that they should be mashkes zera. Somehow they thought that that would solve, somehow it did solve a lot of their problems. the direct man to a Jewish man to be mashka zera is the chanisha, unless it's considered a real pikuach nefesh. A real pikuach nefesh that is going to save his life. The shadow is a lot of is a Jewish psychologist. A lot of recommend this to a goyish client. So that's a shaila lo hamasim. Must like his place is another vishani. Whether hashkos is zera Easter applies only to Jews because we live lachamat in Torah. We the Torah has been given to us. So lachamat in Torah, the heathens no longer have the mitzvah of piri v'riv. So the shaila lo hamasim is bizman zera. Whether goyim amuzer and hashkos is zera, Jews are forbidden to do hashkos is zera. And women is the machlokes the rabbi in a tam against the other vishani. If a woman is mashkes her own zera. Let's say a woman masturbates. That's a big machlekes in Taisus. Whether that's an Easter or not. One day in Taisus and need is that there's no Easter or not. Because that's a different kind of Zera. It has nothing to do with the. Only a Zera Ha'isha is called Zera. Zera Ha'isha doesn't count. It's a different Zera. And other Rishonim say, based on the Pasha Pshat and the Gemara, they hold that it's also. It's a machlekes in the Din Derais.
In general, there are some.
Yeah, this mitzvah of Firmirim, this is the one. The Gemara says that's the only one. Yeah. The Gemara has a whole sugya in Sanhedrin. The mitzvah shifted and it only applies to Israel and no longer applies to the Goyim. Right. That's how the Gemara says. No, that's all. The Gemara says that's the only one. So it tells us that the 7 years of Roth began, the people in Eretz Canaan had nothing to eat. Even though Yaakov had to eat, he told his children, Mother, to throw. Now she quotes in the Medrash, Mama Tarat, and his name is Ishmael. Why should you let the others see that we have enough? That they should make believe, the Jews should make believe, and if they also don't have enough food, they should go down to Israel. But Rabbi Wasserman points out in one of his many essays, this is always the reason, which is often the reason for persecution from human soil, that the Jews were always more matzliach than the Goyim. They were always smarter, they were always wealthier, they were always. More matzliach in business, and they would always show it off to the guy, like go to the bird park. Chandeliers hanging there.
I don't have this
beautiful Chachamim said that that's what Yaakov Avinu told his children, Lama Tisro, that Bnei Yisro should be careful, Lama Tara Atzmechem Lefnei Bnei Yishmoel Bnei Yisro, that we are more matzliach than they are. We have food, we have money, we have everything. She should be a little more careful. That's why when the yeshiva started its graduate schools years ago, there were two considerations. On the one hand, there was a consideration that they weren't letting Jews get into, there weren't times that they weren't letting Jews into good medical schools and into good law schools. So they felt, many Balabatim felt that we're going to show them, we're going to make our own medical school, our own law school. We want to have the Jewish doctors and lawyers. But on the other hand, there was a hesitation, because they felt that if they're going to make a medical school, law school, whatever, it probably will be matzliach, and then it probably will take out the eyes of the government. It probably will cause more anti-Semitism than it was before. So we should always be careful of these of this consideration. So the pasuk says that when Yaakov told his children they should go to Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, "Vayerdu achi Yisrael v'astara lishbor bor mitzrayim." Then it says, "Vayavoy b'nei Yisrael lishbor b'toich haboyim." It says the 10 brothers of Yosef, Eredach Yosef, Asara, Vayavoyu, Bnei Yisrael means the sons of Yaakov Avinu, whose name was changed by the Malach from Yaakov to Yisrael. They came in Lishbor to purchase food, B'tech HaBoim, together with all the others. So Yerushalmi comments on this passage, Yerushalmi Megillah says, there's a Mishnah Megillah that says, the Dovah Shebishdusha needs a minion. To say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, you have to have a minion, Kriya Sakhara, Hazaras Hashar, and so on. How do you know you mean a minion? Because the Mishnah said, because it says in the Chumash, "Benigdashti b'serach b'nei Yisrael." Benigdashti refers to the Dovah Shekedusha, and the Dovah Shekedusha should be b'serach b'nei Yisrael. How do you know what b'serach b'nei Yisrael means? So the Mishnah has a whole series of Yafusas. It says Tarich, and it says Anmasa Leido Harua Hazois. It says Heiron b'serach Eido Harua Hazois. It says the word Tarich in connection with the word Eido. And Edo has found the connection with the Meraglim, and there were 12 Meraglim, and two of them, Yeshua and Kalev, said good, two of them said 10 of them said bid. So the Eda Haroa refers to the 10 Rabbim who said bid. So since the word Eda has the connotation of 10, and the word Eda is found in connection with the word Toch, and here it says in Dash to the Toch and Yisrael, so the word Toch has the connotation of 10. That's what the Mishnah says. That's what the Mishnah says. And Rishami quotes Talmud who have a different marker. That it says, when Higdash to the Sof B'nei Yisrael. And here it says, Vayavoyu B'nei Yisrael Lishbor B'toch HaBoyim. So the word B'nei Yisrael means 10. So here is the marker that that a minion is 10 people. It could be that Rishami is telling us a taich in the post, because Rashi quotes from the Medrash that when they came to Mitzrayim, they entered through 10 different gates. Why? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash different reasons. One reason was that they were all tall and strong and handsome, and they were afraid that they'd get an eye heart. All these 10 handsome guys coming from Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Kanan, and Mitzrayim all together, so they were afraid to get an eye heart. Rashi quotes another time from the Medrash that they were looking for... walk separate, so it won't be an issue. Instead of the handsome guys, but both 10 guys walk together, they know that that's one family. These are the Jews, they're all smart, they're all handsome, they're all rich, well, they have everything, and they're going to be very enrolled in my heart. But if they've let themselves in carefully among everybody else, there's one over here, one over there, they're not so conspicuous, then maybe we'll be lucky and the going won't give us an eye heart. Anhara means if a person prays for your well-being, so that's a tefillah. For a good thing. If a person prays for your klala, so that's a tefillah for a bad thing. So sometimes a person both listens to prayers and sometimes not. It doesn't always mean that he's going to listen to people's prayers. But there's more of a chance, let's say if a person doesn't deserve any punishment at all, so you can give more anharas in the world, nothing will happen. Give more of a person in the world, nothing will happen. But if a person does deserve punishment, not everybody is a child. Some people, once in a while, do sin. Say a little Lashon Hara, a little here, a little there. People do some type of sin. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menaher Lihipara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may punish a person more readily if people are praying for his punishment than people are not praying for his punishment. And I should comment on the first of Mishpatim, that you should be careful by an Almona and by Yisomim to treat them nicely, because if you don't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to their prayers if they cry out because of the injustice that is done to them, and he may answer their prayers and he may kill you. The Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. Why only if they pray for your death? If they don't pray for your death, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not punish you. Why he did it now? So the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been married before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes more ready to punish if people are praying for that person's punishment, but if they're not praying for his punishment. So the Gemara assumes that the prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for someone's punishment need not necessarily be expressed verbally. To give him an hora, it's also prayer for his punishment. I see that a person is matzliach. I see this person is very handsome and very happy and very wealthy, healthy, wealthy, wise, whatever. He has all the milas, and I feel that he doesn't deserve it. That I deserve more, that other people deserve more, that it's not fair, and Hashemayim, that they should give him such a hatzlach and such a brach and such a mazel. So that's not an explicit prayer, but it's implicitly a prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not running his world in a fair fashion, and he shouldn't give this guy so much. So it's implicitly a prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should punish him for the averus that he did. He doesn't deserve so much. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mimahar lihipara on that person if he really deserves it, or if he doesn't deserve it, he can meet all the anharas in the world and it won't affect him. Mordechai says in Sanhedrin, the guy's a tzaddik and he doesn't deserve an anish, and the anhara is more effective. But if a person does deserve, most people do deserve onshin for things that they do. Everybody does have it. So then, if a person, someone will give an anhara, so then a kodesh bochum may be, not necessarily, may be the nahar of the yipara.
That kind of the same kind of thing, the same ideas, according to Shemayim, and somebody prays, somebody else is, it's almost my anhara, please they be a different kingdom. In order for control, who listens to them? Punishment,
the
punishment.
That's another thing. Sometimes the Gemara says if you can, the Gemara says sometimes we recommend that a person should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to kill his enemies, like David HaMelech. Therefore, the Sefer Tehillim is David HaMelech is praying to Hashem that he should bump off all of his enemies. And I say, how could David HaMelech do that? So the Gemara says that it depends. If there's a bezdin, if there is law and order in the country and you can go to the courts and straighten out your taina, So then you shouldn't pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish your enemies. But if there's no system to go to, or there is a system but they're unable to treat with the, deal with this specific case that you're involved in, and there's no one to go to, so then the only one to turn to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Gemara says, you may be mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara just says that it's not right to be matriya Hashem, to bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to punish your enemies if you can take care of it derech HaTeva. Why should Hashem make a miracle and intervene and make Lamaila min HaTeva, make an Oynish for somebody, go to Bezin and take care of it derech HaTeva? That's what the Gemara says. Because he bothered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a case where he didn't have to. He could have taken care of it himself.
But it's not if you're somebody who's jealous of someone else and his father that actually loses his muscle. So
it's certainly different from Menetzvila. I mean, he shouldn't have even prayed to Hashem for the other person's punishment. Certainly he'll be nifra. Certainly he'll be punished for that. The Gemara even says a greater chiddush, even if the other person is really harassing me, and he really deserves a punishment, and I pray to Hashem that he should stop him, that the other guy shouldn't bother me anymore. The Gemara still says that you're not allowed to daven to Hashem if there's another way to do it, but derech HaTeva. If you can go to the courts or get the police to stop the guy from harassing you, it's not proper to daven to Hashem. So it's interesting, Rashi quotes the Medrash on the Pasuk, why did they come, Lishba B'Terech HaBoyim, why did they blend themselves in with everybody else? So one time Rashi gives is that they were afraid of an Anhar, and the other time Rashi gives is in the Medrash. The other time the Medrash gives is that they were looking for their missing brother Yosef, that they had sold him into slavery to Mitzrayim, and they all decided to do Tshuva now and to try to redeem Yosef. And they felt, they made up their minds that wherever they'll find him as a slave, he's going to pay fortunes of money to redeem him, if possible. That's why they went to 10 different entries and they were searching the whole area. Yeah. Did they move? They knew it. They were planning to work in Israel. The Pasuk says that they were on their way to Israel.
They were sold many times
on that. Right. But if they knew that the, all the people on the road were going, that was the road down to Israel.
They did. They were going to the time. They didn't know.
Yeah. So it could be that what the Yerushalmi is saying is the following. Not done that the word B'nai Israel is found in connection with 10 people, and that's why it says in the Gash the term B'nai Israel, so you see Dovah Shemidusha means 10. It could be the idea that Yerushalmi is implying is the following. The whole idea of a minyan is a chiddush din, that there is a tziruf of people together. The Gemara says in the end of Nazir, in the last paragraph of Nazir, that there's no concept of kohol by goyim. The Gemara learns out from Sukkim that the din of tumah v'tare, there's no tumah by goyim. Goyim is not mekabel tumah. There's a din of the rabbanon that all the goyim have a din like a zar. Tosis raises that problem by the chashmonaim with the oil. When he's dead, he's not a goyim. When he's dead, he's a mace. But when he's alive, he's not mekabel tumah. When a goy is alive, he's not mekabel tumah. He can't become a zav, a zava, a nidi, or leder. He's not mekabel tumah from a mace. When he's dead, he's a mace. A dead body is a mace. But a goy, while he's alive, the Gemara says he's not mekabel tumah. Why? Because we have a cloud. The only one who can be mekabel tumah is one who can get rid of the tumah. And since a goy can't get rid of his tumah, so he can't be mekabel tumah in the first place. How do you know a goy can't get rid of the tumah? So the Gemara said, based on the pasuk, to get rid of tumah is only a person who belongs to kohol. Only a person is a member of an eidah. And goyim don't belong to any eidah. Goyim is not tziruf. Every goy is bifnei atzmo. And by bnei Yisrael, there is a concept of tziruf hakohol. But the klal Yisrael is in tziruf yachid. That's how the Gemara says in the last parak in Nazir. Now, Rabbi Prague has a long essay on this, one of his books. But the Gemara says, do you still understand the Gemara? The Gemara says this klal. So the idea of a minyan, a tovish mikdusha needs asara, means that the 10 people on the tziruf yachid to constitute a kohol. To constitute a tzibur. We have a tzibur of klal Yisrael, then you have a tzibur of the community, a kehillah, then you have a tzibur of the minyan, you have different shiurim and tziburim, different shiurim and tzirufi hakol. And all of these are only by B'nai Yisrael. So the Pasuk says that originally the brothers didn't get along, and they sold Yosef quite a degree of not. My kids also don't get along. Their children don't get along, but they don't sell each other. So here they sold their brother Yosef, quite an act of not getting along. So the halacha assumes that whenever the Gemara has a klal in Sanhedrin, the kesher rishoy meino min aminyan. If you have rishon who have a kusha yachad, combined, they join forces together, they're not considered mitzuruf yachad. Kesher rishoy meino min aminyan. There's no tziruf of rishon together. That's basically by goyim, there's no tziruf. One medrash, you mentioned last week, one medrash says that it was that they didn't have the chiruch hapshit. Whatever it was, the ma'aseh, they didn't get along together. So it was no tzirut. And even not the
Not only they didn't get them all together with Yosef, they're all of them against Yosef. The Gemara has a clock in Sanhedrin. Keshem is showing Enam and Aminim, the third parak in Sanhedrin, means that since they were doing an obelisk, even all the brothers amongst themselves who got along together, like the Arabs. The Arabs all get together in order to attack Israel, but there's no tzirif among the Arabs either. Whenever any Goyim Jews, whenever people get together to do a bad thing, to do an evil act, so there's no tzirif for Al-Pidin, it's not considered a tzirif Yah. So then there wasn't shaykh to have a concept of a tzirif. To have a minion. To have a minion at the time that people don't get along. Let's say if you have a minion of people, 10 people in the shul, and they have no shaykhs with each other, then it's not a minion. We assume that they always have a shaykhs. Jews always have a shaykhs with each other. Not necessarily. So, it's like that. The Jews always have a shaykh, and there's always a minion. But let's say one person is in cherem, then he's not mitzvah to the minion. Cherem means that he's meruchok. He's benigri. He's meruchok for the tzibur. People are not supposed to associate with it. If we have a minion, you have, let's say, five guys from YP, five guys from BMC, or a chleis, five guys from one yeshiva, five guys from another yeshiva, five people from Mizrahi, five people from Agude, or something like that. So we assume that even though they don't get along, it's not true. Basically, they do get along, they have a shaykhus. But if a person is mamish benidui of the cherem, then al-pidini doesn't get along with everybody else. Not stam hechepinsim. The feelings are, they don't get along, they do get along, they change their mind. Today, tomorrow, al-pidini don't get along. They don't get along, then there's no tzirub. See, here the Torah tells us that originally the brothers didn't get along with Yosef. So not only were they not mitzurub with Yosef, they weren't mitzurub with each other either. Because whenever you're doing an evil act, we say Kasher Hashem and Aminim. But later on, when they decided to go look for their missing brother, and they had sold into slavery, so the Torah tells us, by Yerdraf Yosef Asorah, they all tend together with Mitzurah to make a meaning, because now they were Mitzurah Yachan. That's why it says, by B'nai Yisrael. They have a din of a minion now. When they're in Cherem, if the Cherem is allowed. The question is whether the cherem is valid or just just to put them in the alley, you have to find it. But if you have a valid cherem, if you don't have a valid reason for making it, let's say if you put somebody in cherem illegally, so then the Gemara says it's not a valid cherem. Gemara tells a story that Reish Lakish had a farm. All the Reish Lakish had a farm. And he was watching his farm, and a ganav came to steal some stuff. So he started to scream at the ganav. So the ganav didn't listen. So he said, "I put you in cherem." So the ganav turns around and he said, "What, are you crazy? I stole a couple of dollars, so I deserve cherem, I put you in cherem." So the shlokish went to the base medrash and told over the story. So they told him that the cherem that you gave the ganav was not valid. The ganav was right. Imam is chayafti, nidu min is chayafti. Just because I stole your money and I owe you money, you have no right to put me in cherem. So they told the Shlokish that your cherem on the ganav was not valid. The ganav's cherem on you was valid. Why? Because there's a klal. They want to put somebody else in cherem for an improper reason, deserves to be in cherem himself. The ganav put the Shlokish in cherem. So it says they had to be marked with Shlokish's cherem.
Anybody can put anybody else in cherem?
If there's a valid reason, even the ganav. Right. The Gemara says the ganav put the Shlokish in cherem. And the base medrash they told him, Shalcho, Einan Nidwin, Shalo, Habi Nidwin.
And
if there's a valid reason, the Gemara tells all the dinim of Nidu in the third parak of Matot. The Gemara tells a famous story that Rebbe's Mary, Amta the day Rebbe, put a guy in cherem, put a religious man in cherem. And all the Rabbanim were afraid to be Mata the Chem. So the guy had to wait a long time until they were Mata this Chem.
They have to get the Bachar's permission to be Mata the Chem?
Did they have to get what?
The
Gemara talks about that. When you mata rechem, do you have to have dafke permission from the ones who put rechem? The Gemara says you don't have to. Shlosha shenidu, three people made a nidu. Someone made a nidu, a private person. So three other people can also be mata and nidu. You don't necessarily require dafke the same thing. The Gemara has a machlokes and chas like that. No, you have to have a reason to be matir and nidu. You can't be matir and nidu for no good reason. Let's say a person is a mitzoro, and then the tzaras heals, and the kohen can declare that he's tohor. Let's say the tzaras didn't heal, and the kohen will declare tohor. Then the psak is not valid. He's still tohor. If the tzaras healed, and then you say that he's tohor, so you declare.
So then over here, if the reason why they put him in cherem no longer applies because the fellow did tshuva, and then a later bezin will be mata the knee, and then the knee doesn't fall off by itself even after he did tshuva, then he can be mata, he can lift the knee. But let's say he didn't do any tshuva, then they will, no one has a right to lift the knee. If they look at it like a kohen says tahor on the fellow who still has an egg of sarah, so it's not valid. The psak is not valid. So it could be that this is the idea of the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says, you learn that it's not tam and asmach and rem is bam, that the word b'nei Yisrael means ten. It says, v'yigoy b'nei Yisrael, and it says, v'yerdach Yisrael asrach, there were ten brothers. Could be that the Yerushalmi is saying an idea here, that the whole concept of a minion, means that tziruf of Klal Yisrael, that by Yerushalmi there is no tziruf. By b'nei Yisrael there is a concept of tziruf, so that tziruf only applies when they get along together. They don't get along as nip. So here, b'nei Yaakov, we're getting along now for the first time. For years and years they didn't get along. They sold Yosef. And now that they were interested in redeeming him and buying him back, buying him out and making him a free man, so now it says B'nai Yisrael. The Psukim say later on that Yosef started up with the brothers, that he starts swearing in the name of Pharaoh, that he's not going to let them go until they bring Binyamin and so on. So he keeps on saying Chay Pharaoh. Instead of saying Chai Pharaoh, says Chai Pharaoh. So the Rambam has a famous comment. The Rambam writes, what is the difference between Chai Hashem? You never find in Tanakh Chai Hashem. You say Chai Hashem. And how come you say Chai HaMelech or Chai Pharaoh instead of Chai? What's the difference? So the Rambam explains that Pharaoh is a person and everybody dies. So Kozman, when he dies, he used to be Pharaoh. When he's alive, and then he's Pharaoh. So the chayim of Paro is something that's in addition to the person. Like when Paro was a little baby, he wasn't so smart. And Paro grew up to be a big man, but also wasn't too smart. Dumb boy. So Mr. he was smarter than he was as a baby. So his intelligence and his seichel is something in addition to his self. It's not his essence. It's something that's added on to his essence. So the chayim of an individual, the chayim of a human being, is something added on to his essence. Because after the person dies, he has a dead body. The corpse is there, so that's the person. And then the chayim that he has is something in addition to him. So then you say Chay Paro, or you say Chay Adoni HaMelech, or any such expression found in Tanakh. Chay means HaChayim Shel. He swears by the life of Paro. But when you swear by Chayim of Hashem, it does mean the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have life as something in addition to his essence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alive. So you say Chay Hashem, that is part of his essence. The Rambam has a long arichas on this, that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu you don't have any adjectives, any ta'orim, or any kunis, any midos that are added on to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't believe, this is the season of the year, we don't believe in the Trinity. We believe Hashem Echad. That's what we put on tefillin every day. We put Mezuzah, Son of God, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. We believe only one God. Only one God. Not only that there's no Trinity, we won't believe that the one God has no body, because anything that has a body, so it has fingers and it has arms and it has legs, that's also not one. It's an achdus murkevis, it's not an achdus pshuta, as the Rambam writes. It's an achdus to have, this is one Gemara, this is one Tanakh, but the Tanakh consists of many pages and many letters and so on. That's an achdus, that's unity, that's murkav, that's combined of different things. And we believe that Hashem Echad, so the Rambam says we believe that Hashem is an achdus pshuta. He's one God in a simple way, after Pshuta, not composite. Not that we put a lot of things together. Yeshiva University is one institution. One institution that has a lot of parts to it. Many, many, many different parts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe, is one God in the sense only one, an after Pshuta, not an after Pshuta. We don't believe that Hashem has a Chayim added on to his essence. His essence is life. So that's why the Pesukim always refer to Chay Hashem. Hashem is alive. You don't swear by the life of Hashem, you swear by the essence of Hashem, which is life. That's why you'll have in the same pasuk you say, Chai Hashem v'chei Adoni HaMelech. You find several times in Navi like that. And the Rambam explains that that's what the difference between them is.
So Chai is not part of power, because it's something that's not only...
Chai means Chai himself, possess it. Chai himself, Mara, Chai Paro. Chai Hashem means Hashem is alive. Doesn't mean I swear by the life of Hashem. Chai Hashem doesn't mean by the life of Hashem. The Rambam has it in the Yarech HaZoh. Yeah. I think it's a cookie to Shemana Prok Mos, but he has it in the Yarech HaZoh. He points out this difference between Chai Hashem and Chai Paroi. The Pasuk can talk about this. It's the Brok at the end of Yishtabach, where he says, Chai Hoi Lamer Machai Olamer. According to one shot, you have to, depending on the say chay acher, you have to say either hor ho oilamim or oilamim. Why? Shulchan Aruch, I think the Achronic quote is Yontif. It makes a difference. Why? Which way does it make a difference? Chai Olamim means Hashem lives forever. Chai Olamim means Hashem lives forever. Chai Olamim means that Hashem is the life of the world. It's all different shot. It's a different meaning. Whether Olamim means, refers to Hashem, that Hashem is Chai Olamim, Hashem lives forever. Or Chai Olamim, He gives life to the world. It's a different meaning. Whether the word Olamim means the world, this universe, Olamim means Hashem lives forever. It's a different shot. That's what the Taisa Zion
says. So Sukhay means like a life that is not, that it's not exclusive to power, right? Because it's something,
right. Something in addition to the right? Essence. Yeah.
So what's Chai mean again?
Chai Hashem is Hashem is alive. Hashem lives.
And Chai means Chai Yishel, right?
Chai means Chai Yishel.
Chai means Hashem lives. In other words, it's inclusive. It's one thing, right?
Just means Hashem is alive. Hashem lives. It's a whole different meaning. The Pasuk says that when the brothers came to Yosef, so he told his Yosef told the Shamas that he should give them fleshes. And the Pasuk says that he should Tvoyach Tevach means he should shech the behemah. The Shamas, Yosef Shamas should shech the behemah. V'hachein, and he should prepare the flesh. What is he going to shech the behemah? He's going to prepare the flesh. So the Gemara says in Pulin that the Pshat and the Pasuk is not on Agarta. The Gemara learns that even from this Pasuk. The Gemara says the Pshat and the Pasuk is. But Tzvayach Tevach means Pralahem Beis HaShchita. You should make a Shchita Ksher on the animal because he knows that these people are Jews and they keep kosher. V'hachein means you should remove the Gid Anosha. V'hachein means you should prepare the food. Why do you prepare the food?
Is it Agarta?
No, it's not Agarta. The Gemara learns that even from this. So the Gemara says that you see from the word Tzvayach Tevach V'hachein, Tzvayach Tevach means you should shech the Shchita Ksher. Pralahem beis hashchita, and the hachein means to gid anosha bifneihem. You should remove the gid anosha as they're watching. But they'll be willing to eat the food if you won't show them that you. You won't. Yosef tells his shamas asher al beisam. If you won't shech the shchita ksher, you won't remove the gid anosha in front of them, and they'll see that it's all kosher. Then they won't believe you. They won't want to eat the meat. Pardon me? He's a great scholar. He read all the books.
How
did
Shalosh
learn to
Kalash?
He's a guy. Takash. They're all going. That's the Shalosh. The Ramos suggests in the Chilvus HaRosh, in the Chilvus HaRamos, that the Shalosh are not the Mekayimim. And the others are still not so. The Ramos seems that they all observe them.
Yosef and Nachim.
No, that's Machlokes with the Hadadina of Bnei Yisrael of Bnei Noyah. But that's what the Gemara says on this pasuk. So the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanai, Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon, where the Shechita Sheinim Ruhuya Shema Shechita, or Lav Shema Shechita. Let's say I shecht an animal, and it turns out that the animal is trade. Why is the animal trade? Let's say I shecht the Behemo Lavoyd Azor. So the Shechita was a good Shechita. The only thing is, I shecht Lavoyd Azor. It becomes also Baham. It's in the Kudus Lavoyd Azor. Or I shecht an animal, and it turns out that it's a trade book. The animal has inside, it has a naked in the intestines or neck, even a lung, there's something, some kind of a sickness, some kind of a chisarin that makes the animal into a trade. So the shechita is a good shechita. The only thing is that you're not allowed to eat it for some reason or another. Or a shechet b'shabbos, let's say somebody shechets an animal on Shabbos, and there's one time Rabbi Yochanan Asander who holds that it's an isa b'raisa to eat food that was prepared to isa on Shabbos. Ma'isa Shabbos is also not there. So if you're shechet b'shabbos, so the Gemara says that will also be a situation of shechita sheni ruya. I shecht an animal, the shechita was perfect, but there's a zaitige reason, there's a side reason why you're not allowed to eat. What's the din of shechita sheni ruya? Do you say shmo shechita, or do you say lav shmo shechita? Is it called a shechita, just this side reason why you're not allowed to eat? Or you say lav shmo shechita, it's not considered a shem shechita ruach. I'm not kidding. Take for example. No, tumah, we know what the din will be. Shechta treif, it's not mitamei, we have all the clothes. Gemara says, when you get to Tumah, Shchid Nishen Ruy Ish Moshchid, that's a Pasuk. Asher Chodos HaTreifo is Mitkahir Nidei Nevela, that we know. We know, when you get to Achila, it's Asuk. Ashchid Nishen, Ashech Lavad Zara, it's Asuk Bahanoch. So about it, it's Lapshmon Shchid, you're not allowed to eat it. Ashech, let's say, Maisa Shabbos, Ashech of the Shabbos, Kanka Vyechan Asamble, it's an Isid Erezity. Ashech, whatever, and I'll turn out Ashech, it's Benimtsis Treifo. About it's Asuk Bahanoch, it's an Isid Treifo. But the Gemara says, "Then again, to Achila Kuli Amalok Pligi, there's nothing to argue. Then it ruya, it's also Achila, so it's also there's nothing to discuss. Then again, to Tumah Kuli Amalok Pligi, that it is Mitahem Ben Avela. Apply this is then again to everything in between. What's in between? Say, for example, the din is that you need Kisei Hadam. In Yeshech, the Chay of Yov, you have to do Kisei Hadam. That's only to do a Shchita. What if you do Nechira? I shoot an animal dead. I have to do Kisei Hadam. The guy is a hunter. He says, the Nodi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to be a hunter. It's a different type. Let's say a guy is not a Tanakh. Nabi Yehuda says, B'nai Torah shouldn't be hunted. Mm-hmm. Let's say a guy is not a Ben Torah. He never heard of Nabi Yehuda. So he goes and he's a hunter. So he shoots an animal. He shoots a deer. So there's no din of Kisei Adam when the deer is bleeding to death. The din of Kisei Adam is only if he did a Shechit Nekshera. So what if I shecht a deer or a chicken or a turkey or a Chayav Yov? I shecht it in such a way, I did a Shechit, but there's some kind of reason why you're not allowed to eat it. It's a Shechit, it's a Zorit, Shechit Shabbat, you need Kisei Adam or not. Well, for example, there's a din of Osul Yez Benoh that the Dafke applies to Behemoth, doesn't apply to Chayav Yov. Kisei Adam only applies to Chayav Yov, not to Behemoth. What if you have Fakir? Osul Yez Benoh only applies to Behemoth, not to Chayav Yov. A Shech, one Behemoth, so you're not allowed a Shech on the same day, or the Ein, or the Vlad of this, not allowed a Shech, the grandmother or the grandchild of this Behemoth that you just Shechted there. So what if I'll Shech the Shechit, the Shechem, the Uya on the first animal? Is that Shmosh Shechit the therefore, the din of Osul Yez Benoh applies, and says, "Lach Shmosh Shchita." So there's no din of Osul Yez Benoh. If I shoot an animal, then I'm permitted to shecht either the aim or the vlad. It's only if I shechted the first one and I shecht the second one. Now that I do two shchitas on the same day, if it's an Osul Yez Benoh. So the Gemara has the machlokes is by Kisei Adam, by Osul Yez Benoh, by Kotshin Bachutz, by Chulin Bazora. Any case where the halacha says that there's a din or a mitzvah that depends on shchita. So you have this machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbanon with the Shchita Shein Ruya, Shema Shchita. Oh, Lav Shema Shchita. So the Gemara asks, my time with the Reb Shimon. How does Reb Shimon know that Lav Shema Shchita? Reb Shimon the Tanna. Shimon the Yom of the Zohar. It's going to be quoted by the Mishnais. He says in the Mishnais, the Shchita Shein Ruya, Lav Shema Shchita. My time Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, because we learn it out from here. It says in the Torah, Utzvach Omar. Says in Parashat Mishpatim, Chamisha Bot Yishalom Tachat Hashor, Yarbet Tzon Tachas Aser. That's when the Mishnah is called a Dalet Behe. Yes, they sometimes pay Dalet Bot Tachas Aser, Chamisha Bot Tachas Hashor. So when you pay Dalet Behe, the Tzvocho on the Choros, so you have the same Achleg as the Tzvocho, where the Shechita, Shein Ruy, or Shmo Shechita or not. If you shoot the animal dead, or you choke it or something, then there's no din of the Tavach HaMachos. So you're not Chayav Dalet, only if you make a Shechita. What if you make a Shechita Kshera, but there's some side reason why you're not allowed to eat it. So that's the Machlokes HaTorah, but the Shechita Shein Ruya, Shema Shechita, and you're Chayav Dalet, Allah Shema Shechita, you're not Chayav Dalet. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon holds, that there's the Yalkus, it says in Mishpatim, Tvachol, or Mekorol, the word Tvich is used, and it says over here, Utvayach Tedach, V'hochein, Yosef tells the chef, the one who's Mamuna Asher al Beso, Otzvayach Terach Rochenit, and what is the mitzvah of Terach Rochenit? It means Pralah Beso Shchita, and Hotel Giron Asher Bifneim, that they'll be willing to eat it. So here, obviously, the Shchita means a Shchita Kshera. He's not going to tell them, make a Shchita and give them the flesh, even if it will turn out to be trade. It means Otzvayach Terach, give them Shchita Kshera, otherwise these Jewish people, they don't want to eat trade the food. So just like over here, the word Otzvayach Terach Rochenit has the connotation of Shchita Kshera, Shchita Horuya Lachila, so too. Regarding the Tzvach HaMechora, we also insist that you need Dafke Shechita HaRuya. Shechita Shein Ruya Lavanetik. That's the source of Reb Shimon. La Halacha, we don't pass like Reb Shimon. Halacha Lamais, we pass like the Chachamim to Reb Shimon. In most cases, that Shechita Shein Ruya, Shema Shechita, with the one exception, however, of Kisei Hadam. Because the Pasuk by Kisei Hadam says, How does it say? You know, who's the Balfurin? How does it go? That has the connotation. Where's Achrin Oz? That has the connotation of Shchita Haruya. Daf Gedei, you say Shchita Haruya is needed. Shchita Shein Haruya, when you get to Kisei Adam, is Lashon Shchita. But when you get to all the other demons, when you get to Osles Bino, and when you get to Tavach HaMochar, when you get to Shchut Tichut, and Kol Mazore, and everything else, they say the Shchita Shein Haruya is no Shchita. Parshas Achrin Oz? From the word itself, you can't tell.
Why? Is that a
crack of shit?
Is that called
a shit? No, that's the machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbanu. Whether shchit mishen ruya lachila is called shma shchita lashma shchita. So generally, we pass like a chachamim of Shimon that it is shma shchita. But the one exception, the Gemara says, Rebbe, who made the Mishnayis, the compiled Mishnayis, made a hachro. He made a compromise between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanu. He was machriya that benegeta, and that's how we pass in the Yeridaya. Benegeta the negeta kisi adam, since the Torah says. Asher yotzu ish ish min bnei Yisrael. Asher yotzu tzeit chaya o'of asher yeyochel. It says here asher yeyochel, so it has to be dafke shchita huri v'achil. Then it says v'shalch hasdama v'chisol bof. Then you need kisi adam. And when you get to all the other issues of shchita, whether shmo shchita alav, lav shmo shchita, when you get to also the zvino, the other dinam doesn't say asher yeyochel. They only pass like the chachamim derab shimon. Shchita shen ruya, ish mo shchita. Even though it's not very lucky. This Gerav quotes in the name he used to say over every year, in the name of Rabbi Shulay Diskin, on the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Mikates. When the police were chasing after the brothers of Yosef, they wanted to find out who stole the Gavia. So the brothers said, what? We stole the Gavia? We are honest people, we are not Ganovim. And they made a call for him, Hen Kes, Rosh HaMotzam, Nefi, Amtel, Chesey, Neheshivon, Elechem, Yeretz, Kinoah. Now that we found the money in our sacks of food, we brought back to Eretz Canaan, so we brought it back to Mitzrayim. So, Kalvachemer, Beth Nignam, Beth Adonetha Kesma Zob, we're going to go steal Kesma Zob. It's a Kalvachemer that we're telling the truth and you shouldn't be cautious. But then the Pasuk says that they started to investigate, and they looked and they found the Govia of Yamchachan Zimion. So the Pasuk says, Vaychapes, they were searching, Bagod Lahechel of Akot and Kilo. They looked. In everybody's sacks, they started from the oldest brother and they finished with the youngest brother, Binyamin. So there's a medrash that says that they only looked in two people's sacks, only in Shimon and in Binyamin. It doesn't mean that they started from the oldest and they went from the oldest all the way down to the youngest, and then they finally found the youngest. They only looked on two guys. When they came from Holden to search, they only looked for two guys, only in Shimon and Binyamin. Why did they only look for two guys? Why weren't they chayshed anybody else? So the Brisk Rav used to say the name of Shul like this thing, Sach Pashit, Yem Gemachta Kal V'Chayma. He said, Madach the money that we brought back, Madach the money we found in Eretz Canaan, we brought it back, so we're going to steal a Gaviyah. So he said, okay, I accept the Kal V'Chayma, but there are two people that's not Kal V'Chayma. Because Binyamin wasn't here the first time, so he didn't find any money, so maybe he's a Ganek, he's not B'Ches Kiskashos. And Shimon was locked up in jail, he didn't let him go back to Eretz Canaan. So they only had a search too, Taki he accepted the Kal V'Chayma. But the other two who had no kavachemer, so he had a check on it. That's how Shulay Diskin was the Rav in Brisk. That's why the Brisk Rav used to say over his bed. Yeah, Pashim Shad is Ruven. So he says no, there was only Shimon and Binyamin. But Gadol Bakot means the two that they check, the older and the younger are the two that they check. Shimon and Binyamin. Rashi quotes from the Chazal. This is one of the ten Kal V'Chaymer that are found in the Torah. in case of a shamatan of the fee, I'm prechasein and hashivon erbach as one of the 10 parashim. This Shabbos is Shabbos Shabbos Tanik and Shabbos Mishkoi. Right. So because of the special season, we read the special Haftorah from Nevuah Zechariah. I'll just say a short comment on Nevuah Zechariah. Zechariah Novi prophesies that there's going to be a beautiful period of the Beis Hamikdash. He sees a golden menorah, and he sees that this week's Haftorah. And he sees two olive trees, one on the right side, one on the left side. Shnayim zeisim ole echad mimin hagulav echad mismolo. The olive trees, the olives are falling down automatically by themselves, and they're falling into a big contraption whereby they get crushed out, and the olive oil is squeezed out, and there's a big pool of olive oil, and the olive oil is flowing into the menorah all by itself, everything by itself. The menorah is a golden, beautiful, sparkling menorah. So the Novi asks the Malach HaDoivabo, Novi asks the Malach who's showing him this Mara HaNevuah, this Chazon, Mo Eila Adoni. He doesn't understand what the Nevuah represents. So the Malach says, what do you mean? Halo Yadaita Mohene. You know what it is. He says, no, he doesn't know. So he finally tells him, Loi Bechal, Loi Bechal, Ki Beruch Yomar Hashem Tzvokas. So it's not by man's might, but rather by the Ruach Hashem. How does that explain what the olives are? Doesn't explain the Kosh of Shem.
But
the Shad, how does this explain the Pshat in the Nevuah? So you continue later in the Novi, and he asks him again. The Novi asks again the Malach. This is after the Haftorah. The Novi asks the Malach again, what do these two olive trees represent? He finally tells them at the end of Perek Dalet, Vayomer, and the Malach tells the Novi, Eile Shnei Bnei HaYitzahom, the Maladon Kol Horatzah. These are the two people with Shem and Zayit who are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Maladon Kol Horatzah. They're praying to Hashem for something. Who are the Aleph people who are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that represents the Shnei Bnei HaYitzahom, the two people that are Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. That's the Kangodol and the Melech, and the Malchus Beis Dovid have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, and they're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should reinstate Malchus Beis Dovid. There was no Malchus Beis Dovid, the whole Bayeshev. In the beginning there was no Malchus at all, the Jews had no Malchus. And then at the end, when the Hashemarim took over the government, so they were Kohanim. They were not from the Malchus Beis Dovid. The Ramban says in Chumash that they violated, they were Chassidei Elyon, the Ramban says in Parashas Vayechi, and they violated an Isser. The Isser from Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Yosef Shevet Mehuda. That the Shevet HaMalchus, the scepter of kingdom, will always be a Shevet Yehuda, as Malchus Beis Dovid, and they took away the Malchus improperly. The Kohanim, the Chashmonaim were Kohanim, and they weren't really supposed to be Malach. So there was no Kuhuna, there was no Malchus Beis Dovid. The other Malachim don't have a Sheikh Meshem and Amishkan. The other Malchus Beis Dovid have a Sheikh Meshem and Amishkan by Hashem. So these are, they hid it, right? There was no Shem and Amishkan, right? So there was no Malchus Beis Dovid, and the Kohanim Gedolim also. There was no Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha either. So the Kohanim and the Kohanim Gedolim, the Kohanim Gedolim wasn't such a gaval to get office. And by Yishen, the Gemara said in the first Perek of Yuma, that they used to bribe the Roman governors of Yehuda in order to get the position to be the kind of, used to bump each other up. Sometimes there's a glory description of the rock storm on Hanukkah. Yeah, they would all kill each other out and the kind of government with some terrible description. So the pasuk says that the two olive trees represent the two people, the Kohen Gadol and the Malach, who are supposed to have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, who are davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should restore their institution of Kohen Gadol and Malach in a nice fashion. So what does the pasuk mean over here? So the Malach is showing the Nevuah to Zechariah HaNovi. If you have these two olive trees and the olives are falling down by themselves and getting squeezed out by themselves and they form a pool of golden oil and the golden oil streams automatically by itself, nobody even has to do anything, it streams automatically by itself into this beautiful golden menorah, which is so beautiful and sparkling. This is supposed to represent, the Novi understanding is supposed to represent the Bayis Sheni, which will be a beautiful era of Kuhuna Gedolah and Malchus. So the Novi, yes, the Malach HaDoivabo, but this doesn't correspond to reality. He knows that there's not going to be any Kuhuna Gedolah of such a sparkling nature, there's not going to be any malchus based lobby. What are you showing me? A mara hanavur. So the malach finally tells him, Lord v'chal v'lev v'chayav kim v'ruchi yomar Hashem tzvok. So Radol v'loy quotes in the name of Rab Chaim Zechon v'loch, Rab Shat perhaps is like this. The Rambam writes in Perek Vov in Beis HaBchiro, why is there a difference between the Kedusha that Yeshua Benun created in Eretz Yisrael when he conquered Eretz Yisrael? If that Kedusha was only Kitchel of Shaita, but not Kitchel of Silov. Kedusha started with Man Yeshua, with Man Bais Rishon, was only up until the Churban Abayis. When the Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and he took over Eretz Yisrael, so we passed in Achleg Satanai, and we passed in Aloha, that Kedusha Rishon, or all the Rishon, everybody passed in like the Aloha Mais. Loi Kitchel of Silov. There's no Kedusha Saretz after the Churban Bais Rishon. Masheini came, the Kedusha HaMikdash, the Kedusha HaMikdash, was Kitchel Asilava. And the Kedusha Shniyah was also Kitchel Asilava. The Kedusha that Shlomo HaMelech created when he built the Beis HaMikdash, that was an everlasting Kedusha. And the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that Ezra and Nehemiah accomplished when they saw move back into Eretz Yisrael, that Kedusha was Kitchel Asilava. Why is there a difference? How come the Kedusha shown on Eretz Yisrael was Bokla B'Shas Churban? Right, so the Rambam explains that in Perek Vav and Beis HaBchiras, since the Kedusha rested on Kibush Mochamo, on military conquest, so when the land was taken away from the Beis Yisrael, so their Kibush was undone, so the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael disappeared, vanished into thin air, so in the middle the Kedusha disappeared. So that's why the din remains, that Kedusha Rishon the location of Zilov. But the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash was never premised in the first place on Kibush Mochamo. So it doesn't have to disappear. What is the Kedusha HaMikdash based on? Hashem is Mashu Shechinah, so the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shechinah is also in the Shechinah is always there. The Shechinah doesn't run away. Just because the soldiers come, HaKadosh Baruch doesn't have to get scared. He can stay there with the soldiers shooting and bombing and everything. The Shechinah is also in the Kedusha. So that's why the Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash was an everlasting Kedusha. And the Rambam says, Hu Adinami, the Kedusha Sa'oritz, at the beginning of Bayi Sheni, when the Kaddish Eretz Yisrael a second time, so that Kedusha was Kitchel HaSilov. That's our most posting hall. Kedusha Shniyah was Kitchel HaShaita V'Kitchel HaSilov.
And that Kedusha was what? The Kibush of
Chabad? Because that was not like the Kibush either. They didn't conquer anything, right? That was also...
So, like right now, let's say someone would go, like, as in the Chaim's boundaries are much smaller than the ones of the first base of Mikdash.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say someone would go outside the bottom of the step, like Beit Shan. That's the border of Ezra Nehemiah. Would say someone would go outside Beit Shan and he would do a Kibush Chazaka. Would it have the same, would it have the Kibush Shniyah? Would it have the same Kibush Rishon? I mean, we don't know. The Chayav is meant to say the Mela.
The question is, when they were Mekadosh in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, how would
they have Mela and Ezra
Nehemiah? Shadlis, maybe Ezra had to be the Mela. The Shadlis, when they were Mekadosh in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, so it would appear from the Gemara, Yivam is in another place, that needed a Kiddush Midas, but somebody had to have to ask for the Mekadosh. The question is, whose Das is needed? See the Das HaBez Nagol HaDas, HaMelech HaDas, both. You need somebody's Haskoma. You need, the Radvaz says in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Truvas, that you need Kiddush Peh. That somebody has to say an act of Kiddush. Harei Mekadosh Karakazu B'Kedush
HaSarah.
So who has to say that? Not many soldiers says it. Not many, any farmer says it. But you have to have some representative of Klal Yisrael. So if you need a representative, who is the one? Who's the balabos?
Ezra.
The board of directors, the board of trustees.
No,
who is
the representative of
Knesset? Somebody has to be the balabos.
Yeah, so why can't we do like Knesset? Rav Rashi is more.
Maybe. But like Goren claims that when they had the Sinai campaign, Ani Kiddush the FRs, that's Knesset. He made the declaration.
They don't have a lot of Chumash and Maish, it's just like, well,
that's what he said.
In Yeshua, tell us that.
That's what he said. He says he made the Kedusha Shniyah, not Eric.
Golan also?
I don't know, I'll have to ask him.
The Rabbi Amit once told me that he did that. He admitted that he made the Kedusha Shniyah.
You have to know it's a question. You have to know how would end the Kaddish in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. Who is the Balabas in the Kaddish? You need Kiddush Peh. You need someone's Das. So whose Das counts? And maybe who corresponds with Manazer? But whoever was the Balabas is Man Bayi Sheni. What was the act of Mekadosh then? No. Because the Gemara says that there were sections in Eretz Yisrael with it in the beginning of Bayi Sheni where the Jews did live, the Hinichon, and they left them intentionally not to be Mekadosh then. Right, in order that there should be no Kedusha Shniyah. What do you mean Hinichon? Why? But they inhabited those sections. You see from the Gemara, even if you inhabit this section, it doesn't get Kedusha automatically. You need kedusha. You need some act of mekadosh zayin b'miskavin. So the Radva is in Perek Aleph and Shulma says you need kiddush peh. You have to be mekadosh the peh. You need kiddush peh. The other Rishonim say you need machshava, intention, kavanah l'kadosh. So who? You have to have some person who should be declared as the Baal HaPos. Either the Melech or the Rosh HaMemshala or the Bez Magola or the Chief Rabbi or whoever. Somebody has to be the Baal HaPos. So Rab Chaim said perhaps this is pshat in the pasuk, like the Rambam said, loy b'chayil v'loy b'choyah. That the kedusha that they're creating now in the building, the second base of the kedusha, is unlike the kibush oretz mizman Yeshua. When Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, when he created the kedusha rested on chayil and toya. Was based on kibush mochamah. So that's why when the Nebuchadnezzar came, and he took away Eretz Yisrael from the Jews, so the kedusha of Yeshua was mizbatlo. Because since it was rested, since it was based on kibush, so it was broken, I made kibush from the goy. And the Navi Zechariah is told now, Loi b'chayel v'loi b'chayel. What you're doing now, in the beginning of Kufas Baisheni, is not b'chayel, not b'chayel. They didn't have any military power at all at that time. Ki b'ruchi, this is just, the Shechina is going to be mash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mash Shechina, so Allah mokam hazeh. So therefore, this Kedusha will be an everlasting one. And therefore, the Mara HaNavua that the Navi saw, with the Kuhuna G'doylo, and the Malachos, and the beautiful Menorah, such a beautiful golden period, of Beis HaMikdosh doesn't refer to the Bais Sheni, rather refers to the Bais HaShlishi. But what kind of an Nechama was that for the Navi Zechariah? Navi says before, in the beginning of Zechariah, and Chagai says the same, in the Sefer Ezra it says, that the people who remembered the Bais Rishon were crying when they built the Bais Sheni, because they saw that this is Ka'ayin DNA, this didn't compare at all. Chasach HaMishadvarim, the Pasuk says in Chagai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them B'nevuah, they should build a Beis HaMikdosh, Eretz above the Ikovdo. I desire a Beis HaMikdosh and I'll be honored by the Beis HaMikdash that you will build for me. The Yikovdo will be a cover to me. So why is the word the Yikovdo chasa hey? It's missing hey. The answer. The Gemara says in the first paragraph Yume, Elu hamisha dvarm shayach haserim b'bayi sheni. This represents the five things that were missing in the period of the b'bayi sheni. So Zechariah knew that b'bayi sheni was going to be a very empty period. It's going to be shvach ha-kunadol, shvach ha-no-malkos, no-malkos b'zol at all. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be chasa hamisha dvarm from the beginning to the end. So he didn't understand the Mara HaNevuah that's depicting such a golden, beautiful period of Kulam Dola, Malchus, and Beis HaMikdosh, and HaKrovus, HaKrofonis, and Menorah, and everything happens automatically. It doesn't correspond to reality. So the Malach told him, no, this is really a picture of Bais HaShlishi. So what kind of Nechama is it for me if I'm making Bais Sheni? So the Malach tells him, no, that the Bais Sheni is a Haskol of the Bais HaShlishi. That whereas the Bais Rishon was not a Haskol of Bais HaSheni, when the Bais HaRishon was destroyed, that was the end of the period. Because the Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael was loy kitchel osi lovoy, but the Kedusha Shniyah is unlike Kedusha Rishon. This is loy b'chayel v'loy b'choyach. Now you're making a Kedusha on Eretz Yisrael. It's not based on military power. It's based on ruchi. It's based on ruach Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashal shchinasa. So therefore, when there will be a destruction of the Medina in the year 70, that will not end the Kedusha. The Kedusha will continue to remain in the kitchel osi lovoy, and the Bais HaShlishi will be a hemshach from the Bais HaSheni. So this is a haskolah. That's why the pasuk continues to say, "V'hotzias leven harosha." That after the malach told him that binyan bayis sheni is a haskolah for the binyan bayis hashlishi, so he shouldn't despair. This is just a haskolah. So it says, and they took out the cornerstone and they founded the Beis HaMikdosh. What it means, perhaps to say, is the Rav Soloveitchik shlik the Rav Adonan on Rav Chaim's word one moknech. He said maybe the pasuk means to say that the whole bayis sheni doesn't just mean that they made. They laid the cornerstone for the Bais Sheni. It means the whole Bais Sheni was the cornerstone for the Bais HaShlishi. But Rav Chaim explained that that's why the Malach was showing him this Nevuah, and you should know that this is the Haskalah for the Bais HaShlishi. The Bais Sheni that they're making, although it's Shvach, is considered the Haskalah for the Bais HaShlishi.
So what does the Chayyim realize? Is it after the second time the Chayyim asked twice, right?
He said he didn't understand. Yeah, the Malach told him, he said he still doesn't understand what it was telling him.
He didn't understand it because
he didn't understand what it's supposed to represent.
What does the second time say?
That the two zeisim, the two olive trees on the right and on the left of the pool of golden oil, represent the two bnei ha-yitzor, the two people, the kohen gadol and the melech and the malchus ben zadok, who are mashiach b'shem and amishcha, who are davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should restore their positions. He should bring back the kohen gadol and the malchus. And I'm not being restored in the Bais Sheni, but be restored in the Bais HaShlishi. And the Mara HaNevuah that he was shown was a Mara HaNevuah for the Bais HaShlishi. So what does God do with him? Because his binyan Bais Sheni, that Yitzchai was involved in, was the Haskalah for the Bais HaShlishi.
Well, when Zachariah was in the beginning, right? From his beginning, before they even went up.
So Zachariah was there when they built the Bayis Shemin also. He was one of the three Nevi'im, Chagai, Chaim HaLavah, with the three Nevi'im who authorized the building together.
So it's fine.
No, they weren't. Ezra, the Gemara says, is Malachi. Same guy. Nehemiah was not a Novi. The three Nevi'im who came with them were Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, Zu'ezra. That's the same person. The Gemara knows that because Ezra, in the Eishai for Ezra, he always speaks about my two buddies over here, the two prophets, Chagai, Zachariah. And he never mentions Malachi. And the Gemara says that the three Nevi'im, Chagai, Zachariah, Malachi, were simultaneous. They all lived at the same time. And the Lord needed to authorize the Binyan by Hashem. So that's how the Gemara understands it. Ezra is the Malachi, the same person.
What he says is the Lord is going to have a second Mikdash, because the second Mikdash was supposed to have a Kedusha even greater than the first, but they messed it up because they didn't come back as much as the...
Well, the Maisa didn't have.
So he says the Lord is going to have a second Mikdash.
No, but the Maisa didn't have. So how can we refer to the second Mikdash? Didn't have a... There's nothing better in the second than in the first. That's what the Novi was told, that the Marahan Abu that he was shown really refers to the third bias. And the second bias that they were engaged in building right now was Haskola and Eben Harosha for the third base on English.
The long time of the was all the way at the end of the mission.
No, that's 10 Pesukim before. The Navi, the Malach thought the Navi would understand, and then he asks again, he still doesn't understand. So then he continues to fill in the Pshat. He tells him, no, the Shnei B'nei had.
What does that have to do with Hanukkah to go to some of the other
thing? What has to do with Hanukkah? That's a long story. Maybe we'll talk about that next time. Usually I say it every year, but these guys already heard it 10 times. So. No, you never heard? Say the Shia next year. I'll tell you next time. In the beginning of Parashat Vayichi, the Torah tells us that Yaakov appointed Menashe the Ephraim as two different structures. And Yaakov refers back to the Haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch had given him previously. Before Binyamin was born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu, "Goy yutahal goyim yeh mimeko, melochem yichal otzecho yetzei." What does it mean, "Goy yutahal goyim yeh mimeko"? Who's going to be born? Binyamin. Binyamin was born. How can he call Binyamin a goy yutahal goyim? The Gemara in Hori is derived from this, the Shevet Echad Ifri Kohol. Every Shevet from the Yisrael Shivtei Kohol is considered a Kohol. In one sense, the whole Klal Yisrael is one Kohol. In another sense, every Shevet is considered an individual Kohol. But his daughter gave him a prophet to Yaakov Avinu before Binyamin was born that he's going to have his wife, one of his wives is going to give birth to a kohol. That means another shevet is going to be. But he was told, "Go, your kohol go, there's going to be two more shvatim." So his wife only had one baby, and they didn't have any more children. They just had Binyamin. And then he had no more shvatim. So he understood from the haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch had given him that one of the shvatim is going to be broken up into two. That's what Rashi explained. And then he felt that he had the right to determine who should be given this matana, which one of the shvatim should be broken up. So Yaakov says, when I came back from Chutz Lo'ot to Israel, Hashem told me that you're going to have another two shvatim. So he only had one with Binyamin. So with the Atman, the Ator, Shnei Varecha, Hanoladim L'chaberet Mitzrayim, Kirumi V'shem and Yehuli. Your two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, should be considered two different shvatim. So Yaakov now, Rashi explains all this. Yaakov is now using this haftacha that Hashem gave him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, that he's going to have more than one shevet born. Goyi kal goyi. So not only was Binyamin born, the shevet Yosef was broken up into two shvatim, namely Menashe and Ephraim. What's the significance of Pidin of having two shvatim? The one nafkamina. The one nafkamina is that, of course, the big golem. Right? One nafkamina is the big golem. That was the whole Rosh Hashanah. When they travel in the Midbar, each Shevet has a different dagger. What other Nachkamina is there with Doros? Not with Hoi Rasha. What Nachkamina is there with Doros? So the Doros, there was a Nachkamina for Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says. For Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, they got two Chalokim. Exactly what does that mean? There's a famous Machlekes Rashi in the Ramban Taka, and this week's Sedra. How to learn Pshat in the Gemara in Yeshne? Rashi says. Rashi says what? Rashi says that every person got the same share. Every individual got the same share. So it doesn't really matter whether Menashe or Ephraim would be one shevet or two shvatim. The Maaseh, they're going to get the same share anyway. That's how Rashi holds. So when we say that it's chapkan afkemir, that Reuven Shimon are two shvatim, the halukas aretz, what's the significance of that? That the two shvatim halukas aretz means like this. If it would have been one shevet, they would get one big chelek, so that every person would get 3 acres, let's say. Every Jew in Palestine gets 3 acres. Gemara has a whole sugya shnuf. How do you figure out when they first came to Eretz Yisrael? How did they divide Eretz Yisrael? Gemara has three shikas in Tanaim. Because there's a steer between two different Gemaras, two different sugya mechumash. One pasuk seems to say that the Yotze Mitzrayim is alcohol. And one pasuk seems to say the Ferish, not seems to say the Ferish, that the Bay Horat is alcohol. So let's say there would be Shishim Rebo people who left Mitzrayim, 600,000 people. So you divide Eretz Yisrael into 600,000 portions to the Yotze Mitzrayim. And then their descendants get it Birusha from their forefathers. So let's say one man had 10 children, one man had 10 grandchildren, the other man only had one grandchild. The rest of the family didn't have any children with them. So they come to Eretz Yisrael, the one guy who had the 10 grandchildren are going to get tiny shares. The one man who had one grandchild is going to get a big share, because if you hold the Yotze Mitzrayim is Chalkohor. It's one sheep, the Yotze Mitzrayim is Chalkohor. The other sheep is Lebay Horitz, is Chalkohor. Let's say there were Shishim Riba people at the time of Knesset of Aretz, there were probably more. Let's say there were Shishim Riba people in between the age of 20 and 60 at the time of Knesset of Aretz. So then you divide Eretz Yisrael into the Shishim Riba portions and they get a chen. And then the Gemara patches it up. It doesn't mean exactly like that, with a slight calculation. Then the third time it says in the Gemara that Lezev Lezen is Chalkohor, because there's a steer between the two psukim, and every time it has a problem, what do you do with the other person? The Gemara says the third time they have Lezev, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't have the original Machlokes, but the Yotze Mitzrayim is Chalkohor. And the Bay Horitz is Chalkohor. And the third time it says, Rav Lezman Yankee says, Lezev Lezen is Chalkohor. It's solely divided into two times Shishim Riba Chalkohor. So whoever was from Yerich Mitzrayim got 1 acre. And if he's not alive anymore, see his descendants get his Yerush. And whoever was from Bay Horitz gets his share. So the Pashup Shad the Gemara is, he wouldn't know any more Gemara. The Pashup Shad is like this, Rashi said on Chumash, that every person got an equal share. Doesn't mean Lamai said that every person when they came to Yerich Mitzrayim, he's in the age of 20 and 60. Got equal shares. If he got the Yerusha from his grandfather, he said the Yotze Mitzrayim is Chalkohor. So the man who had 10 grandchildren was going to get the tiny share. His grandchildren was going to get 1/10 the size of the share of the other guy whose grandfather only had one grandchild. He's going to get 10 times bigger share if you hold the Yotze Mitzrayim. But basically, Rashi says now, foolish, on this week's said with the Pashup Shah, that every person got an equal share depending on which people you're talking about, either Yotze Mitzrayim or the Bay Horetz. The Chalukah was everything even. So when you say that Shimon, when you say that every Shevet is separate, and when I say Ephraim, I choose distinct Shvatim for Chalukas Aretz, they need a distinct Shvatim. So it means like this, the whole Shevet Yehuda gets together in one spot. You don't have one guy gets in the north, one guy gets in the south, one guy gets in Eibar Yarbi. They get all over the place. No, you don't draw lots for every person individually. You don't have Shishim Ribo lots, and Shishim Ribo people, and every person draws a lot, and then he gets a chelik wherever, haphazard. No, all the Shvatim get together. Shevet Zvulun all gets together. Shevet Yisrael gets together. Shevet Binyamin gets together. So now, Menashe and Ephraim, if they would have been considered one big Shevet, so Shevet Yosef will draw a lot all together. Let's say, what would be the population of Shevet Yosef all together, Menashe and Ephraim hyphenated? Let's say if they would have been one Shevet. Let's say each one had, 10,000. Let's say, for argument's sake, you have to look in the Chumash. And so each one, Menashe Ephraim, each one had 10,000, so together they had 20,000. They divide, so you get 20,000 lots in one section of Eretz Yisrael, and then you draw lots for the 20,000. So now the Torah says, no, Yaakov Avinu is kaver that Ephraim and Menashe are two distinct shvatim, so they break it up into two different. There's one chelek that's going to have 10,000 shares, and they divide that among the lots of the people from that shevet, and then shevet Ephraim is going to have a different, and shevet Menashe is going to have a different. They're not going to be together. That's how Rashi learns on Chumash that on this week's Sedra Tapa, that's an important Rashi. That the Shvatim, the Rav Tarben Achlosa, the Lamat Tamit Achlosa, Rashi learns Pshat in that Pasuk, that according to the size of the Shevet, they get a larger share in Eretz Yisrael. That the Shevet that has more members in it is obviously going to get a bigger Chelet of Eretz Yisrael. The Shevet that's starting to get a smaller share, because either Liyot Mitzrayim is Chalkohorot. All the Bay Horitz in Schalke Horitz, Allah Zev, Allah Zen in Schalke Horitz, the Sheva Shita and Tanam, you adopt among the three sheep, but everybody gets the same share. Everybody among the people who, amongst whom you divide, get an equal share. That's how Rashi says. The Ramban HaChumash disagrees with this Rashi, and the Rashbam on the Gemara Bava Basra says also an opening Gemara against Rashi. The Ramban and the Rashbam quote the same Gemara. That is not true. At first they divided Eretz Israel into 12 equal shares, and every Shevet got the same size. The Shevet Reuven, Shevet Shimon, Shevet Yisachar, Shevet Ephraim, Shevet Menashe, the two different Shvatim, each Shevet got the same size share. Now one Shevet is going to be 5,000 people, one Shevet is going to be 20,000 people. Tough luck, with 5,000 guys, get 4 times as big a Shevet as the 20,000 people. Whatever you hold the Eretz Mitzrayim, or the Bayi Haaretz, every Shevet got the same, got an equal size share. It's always divided into 12 Shevet. That's the Shitas Rov HaPoskim against this Rashi. That's the Machlokes, Rashi and the other Shani. What does Rashi do with the Gemara? So the Mepharshim explain away the Gemara. The Rashi has a different shot. But when the Gemara, like we just said before, when the Gemara says that there is a soul is first divided amongst the Shvatim, it doesn't mean that every Shevet got an equal share. It means that every Shevet got together. They didn't draw lots for everybody, all Shishim Rebu people together. So one guy from Shevet Yehuda will get in the north, and one guy from Shevet Yehuda will get in the south, and one will get in Levi Yarden. First they figured out how many people from Shevet Yehuda, they figured out how many people are entitled to draw lots. Then they figured out how much karka they had, according to Rashi. Then they figured out how much per Shevet, depending on how many people were in every Shevet. And then they saw to it that all the people not Shevet got contiguous, they got one share together. That's how Rashi interprets the Gemara. According to Rashi, everybody basically, all the people who were drawing lots got the same size share. And the Ramban and all the Rishonim. So the difference is that they get all the one, if their Ephraim and Menashe would have been treated as one Shevet, there would have been one big section in Eretz Yisrael. And then a guy from Shevet Ephraim could get a chelek over there, another guy from Shevet Ephraim could get a chelek over there, far apart from each other. Because all Shevet Yehuda is one. Like Shevet Binyamin is one, Shevet Yehuda is one.
Then Kach Mishpachos were sitting together, even with the Shvatim.
Okay.
So even Saul, even if they were one Shevet, still there was one set. If Yosef had two sons, one said there was distinctly the side of the family belonging to Menashe, and the other side of the family simply belonging to
Ephraim. But still, there wouldn't be on the map a different section for Ephraim and Menashe. It would be one big section for Yosef.
Okay.
And people put Yet in a different place.
Moshe came. Where they were.
Yeah. Were they all near each other? Ephraim near each other? Menashe near each other? Oh no, the whole Shevet Yosef was one, and they could be anywhere within that section on the map. And according to the Ramban and the Rashbam and the Pashut Pshat and Bava Basra and the Yesh Nechel, it is not so. That every Shevet got 1/12 of their total, divided into 12 shares. And then the Shevet that had 5,000 population, they got big shares, and the Shevet that had 20,000, they got tiny shares. They lost out.
The Ramban has two now. Nakamina of they're two different areas, and Nakamina is how much area they have to deal with. But Rashi only has one.
Yeah.
The area he doesn't have as
much. Right. Yeah. Well, the Brisker Rav has a famous comment on Chumash. He says, the Pasuk says later in Torah that when the Pchor was taken away from Reuven was the Pchor, and it was given to Yosef, so it says that Yosef was Pchor Shara Adolo. Yaakov gave the Pchor to Yosef. What does it say? Pchor Shara Adolo? So he says, it sounds a raya to Rashi, that the Chor was only for Kovod Baal. Hodor. Hodor means that it's only a kibbutz. According to the Ramban, the Chor half an afternoon in dollars and cents. A normal Chor gets Pishnai, he gets twice as much as any other brother. And other brother gets $1,000, the Chor gets $2,000. That's not a shadow of Kovod. That's not some Kovod Baal. That's money. $1,000 more than the other guy's money, dollars and cents. According to the Ramban, the fact that Ephraim and Menashe were two Shvat means that they got twice as much karka. So it was divided into 12 chalokim, the Shevet Levi didn't get. So if there would have been, including Shevet Levi, it would have been 12 chalokim, 12 shvatim, so Shevet Levi doesn't get, so he would have divided Eretz onto 11 shares. And Ephraim and Menashe together would have gotten one share. Now that Ephraim and Menashe are distinct shvatim, so you divide Eretz onto 12 shares, so they get more. So they get more karka. So Shevet Yosef is getting twice as much, twice as big a chalok in Eretz as any other brother. So the Bechorah that was taken away from Reuben to give it to Yosef was not some kibbutz. There was a lot of money. There were quite a few $1 million worth of real estate over there. They got a big chunk there to throw. So Rav Avola said that the pasuk that says in Zvorim, the end of time, Bechor Shor Hodolo, that the Bechorah that was given to Yosef is a Hodor, a kibbutz. So it sounds like Rashi, that it's some kibbutz be'al. They got the chelik together, but it doesn't really make any difference in dollars and cents.
What can you look in Yeshua and see?
Again, tell even if you know on the map where it is, it's still hard to tell because they had to assess which property was more valuable than which. It could be that one shavit would get five times as big an area as another because it got the... Yeah, because it wasn't as fertile as the other. So the Gemara says they had to be malam adamin, which karka is equal to which karka. It's still hard to tell. If you really know what their soul is like, this man chalukas ha'aretz, then you can figure out whether... Right?
How does the Mabalam prospect the last half an hour so
the Rishonim, the Rashbam on Yesh Lechem says, "Pakef." And that pasuk is a raya against this Rashi. That pasuk is a raya to the Rambam. Larav means Larav. If there were more people bizman yitzinis mitzrayim and fewer people now, then tarva nachlosta. Let's say there were three brothers b'shas yitzinis mitzrayim, and now there's only one grandson of all the three brothers. And these people get a bigger chelik. If they stay for that pasuk, is go pakef. Doesn't mean at all what Rashi said. The Gemara in Yishnechon says a different shot for Rav. Doesn't mean the shevet that has a larger population gets more karka. That's a different pasuk, but that sounds like it says, but that's not this pshat over here. The Gemara interprets Larav Tavanach Lazi means if a specific shevet had more people, the Yitz Mitzrayim, and now the Boy Horus, they have very few, then Tavanach Lazi, every individual member of that shevet is going to get a bigger chelet. Lamad, if there were few people, there was one guy, Mishas Yitzis Mitzrayim, he has 25 grandchildren, then Tavanach Lazi. Completely different shot. Nothing to do with the way Rashi interprets. So let's see. Lemaynaf kimina. What's the significance halacha lemaisa? The fact that that Yosef is given the Torah that his two sons were considered two distinct shvatim. So one of kimina is for the golem. That's a hirua shor. That's not a dimadur. It's a hirua shor. It's tamlu kibudim. Another of kimina is for chalukas oris l'shvatim, which is a machloek is between the Ramban and Rashi. And this week said it. But that's not mean in thousand cents, that's how the Ramban holds and Rav Harishan hold like that. Rashi has this unique sheet against all the other Rishanim. He interprets the Gemara apparently differently in Yesh Nochmeh, that just for Kibbutz B'Yalma, just for Chalukas Oretz, that Menashe got together and Ephraim got together. But it doesn't really mean that Shevet Yosef got twice as much valuable karka, twice as much as everybody else. Everybody got it, according to how many people that were supposed to be drawing lots, either the Yetz Mitzrayim or the Dor, or the Lezev, or the whatever it is. What is another significant nafkamina la'alocha about the fact that they're two different shvatim? So the other nafkamina is the Mishnah and Hayriyas, that the Gemara says, Shevet Nechad Ikri Kohol. Every Shevet is considered, the whole Kohol is so together, is called Kohol, and every Shevet is called the Kohol. My nafkamina, so the Gemara says, for the din of Par Helam Dovashal Tzibur, that if the Bet Nagadol Shabi Yerushalayim was matter something, they pass in a certain Aveira as Mutta. And then Rav HaTziba goes ahead and violates that Aveira, the Shegeg, because they followed the Psaq of the Bet Nagadol, that it's Mutta. They ate a certain kind of candy, I think because they had a hashgacha of the Rabbanut, and they thought that it was close, then it comes out that it was really trafe. The Rabbanus and Rashi later on changes their mind, they decide it's really trafe, and it's an Issa Kareis, and they forced everybody to violate an Avera or Shiej before. So later on, if the Rav Tzibur Shabar Tzitzol violated the Avera, so the din is that the Rav Magol has to bring a par halam Rav Shal Tzibur. So the Tanoim have a machlekes, and we pass from Halacha, that every Shevet has to bring, you have to bring 12, you have to bring 13, Shevet Ha'igos, you have to bring different korbanos for each and every shevet. The shevet echad ikri kol. The bezin of every shevet has to bring a palam davar shel tzibur for that shevet. Every shevet has to bring a separate one. That's the bezin agol made the psak in error. But the din is that the klali saw needs to cut off. Yeah, and even if they're not, that doesn't matter. This is sort of a Sanhedrin doyle for every shevet. So that's an afkamina ladina mamish. That's an afkamina ladina. That when you bring a parham davar shel tzibur, every member, every shevet has to bring their own parham davar shel tzibur. And then every shevet had its own. No, that's the pasuk at the beginning of Shoftim says, Shoftim shatid l'cha l'cha sharecha lishvatecha. What does it mean? So what does it mean lishvatecha? Shoftim shatid l'cha l'cha sharecha. There should be a tzedin in every city. Then it says, "Asher Shemakach Nozim Lachal Lishvatecha." The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that there should be a Sanhedrin Lachal Shevet V'Shevet. What does that mean? So one could learn Pshat. Rashi learns Pshat on the Gemara of Sanhedrin, the end of the first Perek, that if you have a city that's divided amongst two Shvatim, so although the pasuk says Lachal Sharecha, every city should have a Sanhedrin, but if you have one city that's divided amongst two Shvatim, so you have to have two Sanhedrins in that city, one for one Shevet, one for the other Shevet. The Ramban Achonish learns a different shot. The first pasuk in Shoftim means that in addition to the Batidinim Shabuchal Yavir, you have to have, of course, that Bezna Gomel Shabir Shalayim, that's the pasuk later in Shoftim, Kibal Mucha Dovala Mishba, the Kamter Al Yisrael Al Amakom, Ashiv Hashem Achech Abba means in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. But in addition to that, the Bezna Shebechol Yevir, the Bezna Kodesh Shebechol Yerushalayim, you have to have an appellate court or something like that. Like you have a whole court system. So you have to have Bati Dinim Chol Yevir, and a Bezna Kodesh Shevet V'Shevet, and a Bezna Kodesh Aleihem. And the Ramban says in the beginning of Shoktim that that's the pshat in this Mishnah in Harvias. And the Mishnah says in Harvias that the when you have to bring a Parham Lo Shal Tzibur, the Bezin Shal Kol Shevet V'Shevet has to bring the Parham Lo Shal Tzibur. For their Shevet, you have to bring 13 Parham Lo Shal Tzibur. Every Shevet. Yes. Talks about that, what the din is. What if the Bezin Shal Shvatim make it stop in error? So the Ramban says, you see that there's such a thing with Bezin Shal Shvatim. As the Mishnah Harry has talked about, what din is. I don't remember. The Mishnah discussed it. It's soon in here. But you see that there is such an institution. So that's, those are the chilukim and din between being considered one Shevet and two Shvatim. One is the Begolim, which was a Hayru Ashur, the Masos and the Midbar. The one is the Chaluk Tzoret, which was also Hayru Ashur, the Mos Yoshua Benu. Let's say a girl from Shevet Ephraim Yarshin's a lot of money. So the first door, they weren't allowed in to marry outside of the Shevet. So she allowed to marry a boy from Shevet Menashe on that. So if Ephraim and Menashe were one Shevet, she can fall in love with a guy from the other Shevet, the same Shevet. But it's now that they were given a blessing, that they considered two different Shvatim, so the blessing of the Shevet ruins her. Poor girl is broken about it. She's not allowed to marry her boyfriend because it's from the other Shevet. Because when Asher found out two Shvatim, what did he do? The Gemara says it was only her Rosh Shoh, and the Ramban HaChomish writes it was only till the Yud Dal of Shomer, the first 14 years in Eretz Yisrael. Very short period of time. It was only till the Yud, the Sheva Shekim, Sheva Sheva Shechilku. So that the Chaluk HaSaretz would be the Shvatim, Shevet Binyamin would be together, Shevet Yisrael would be together. At the time that they finished the Chaluk HaSaretz, the Chaluk HaSaretz, the Shvatim should be completely also Shevet. Because otherwise, when you make a Chaluk HaSaretz, it's going to be Shevet Binyamin. The first day that you determine which chelik is shevet Yamin, it's already today. Here's the shevet Yamin, already belongs to a guy who got the Yerusha from his mother, who shevet Yisachar. It's already off to.
Already after that, they don't chorshish anymore. The Yisachar can marry the Yamin.
Right. The Gemara says there was only a din lahayru ashur, only in that door. And the Ramban Achumish says hayru ashur. How long was the hayru ashur? Ramban says till the end of the Yud Aleph Shana Shechilku. It was shevet Shekivshu, the shevet Shechilku. So he says at the time that they completed the Chaluk HaSaaretz, the Rabbanu Shalom wanted that all the Shvatim should be, Yisachar should be together, Zvulun should be together at the beginning. And then the Kalan Habot doesn't matter anymore. You can sell your karka to somebody from another Shevet. You can intermarry, and Yarsh intermarry another Jew. Another Shevet. You can even doesn't intermarry.
The fact that they had all kisses in Oslo, wouldn't that be right if one says either Lozemazel or the Yotzeh Mitzrayim? I mean, you're right against the ones that
you Gemara has a whole discussion. Can't you prove something from. Nice look. Yeah. Gemara has that cash. Gemara's cash. That is a cash. Yes, look. Gemara has that cash. And that could pay his love or something.
Also, the purpose of that is to spread them out. I mean, as evident from later on, we foster a certain amount of nationalistic feelings among each Shevet, and eventually later on, even spread the fight against each other. So why would they want to do it?
The Rebbeinu Shlomim wanted that. We'll get to that. So how many halachas are there? How many halachas are there for the Shvatim? The one is for the Golem that was Hayru Ashur. The one was for Chaluk HaSaaretz, also Hayru Ashur. Machlokes is Rashi and Ramban what that means. And then also an extension of that about the Chaluk HaShvatim, Chaluk HaSaaretz Shvatim was an afkamina for getting married. It's based on the same shayla. Is it one din shevet or two din shvatim? And then a third nafkamina ledina, which is a real din ledoros, is for Parham Dol Shal Tzibur. But then the Gemara has another idea, that's what you're raising, the issue. What's the whole idea behind the Shvatim? So the Gemara says, Osan Yeshma, the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition. Gemiri usually means Halacha Moshe Sina, a tradition or something. The Lord called a shift to Yisrael. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that no one shaved will ever be wiped out. The Gemara has a braisa there on Yeshma. Gemara has the braisa if a man dies, so his son gets Yerusha, has no son, the daughter gets, has no sons or daughters, so the grandchildren, no grandchildren, so the father, no father, brothers, no brothers, grandfather, son, all this question. Then Gemara says, what if everybody's dead? Everybody's wiped out. So then Gemara says, Nachlof and Mashmash is by Lech, Azad, Ruvay. Yerusha goes back to Ruvay, one of the Shvatim, and then it goes down to somebody else in the Shevet. In fact, the Gemara, what if everybody in the Shevet is completely wiped out? So why doesn't the Braisa mention that possibility? That it goes from one Shevet to the other? Gemara says that's impossible. Gemiri, we have a tradition. The Lord follow shift to me so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that an entire Shevet will never be wiped out. So why is that so? So the Mishkirov has in the Sefer HaChumash that this is based on the Haftarah that the Navi said. Malachi HaNavi said, Ani Hashem lo shanisi. Hashem says, I am Zad, I don't change. V'atem re'akum lo chilisi. Just like Hashem says, I haven't changed, so too Bnei Yaakov, Lo Chilisim, will never be wiped out. Jewish people will never be wiped out. So the Haftochah to Klal Yisrael was that they'll never be wiped out. So that Haftochah was not only to Kahal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael as a whole, the whole Klal Yisrael. Since Shevet Echad Ikri Kol, every Shevet is considered a separate, every Shevet is called a Klal Yisrael Bifnei Atzma, a miniature Klal Yisrael. So therefore, the Biskrov quotes the Ravid in his Biur on Vayikman, Chumash Vayikro, the Ravid has a Biur.